I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. And I'm all alone. There isn't anybody on this recording with me. And as I get into the topic for today, you're gonna realize why, because I figured that this was one that I needed to do alone. It's based on my blog post / email that went out this morning titled Me First. And I'd like to set the tone for that. Do you remember back when you were in elementary school and there were all those kids that said they needed to go first? They were the ones that had to push in the head of the line, or perhaps if there was a question that the teacher had asked, you know, they were groaning as they were trying to reach their hand high enough into the answer, into the air, so to speak, to be picked. Those were the me first kind of kids. Well, as they got older, they didn't change. You can see it as you're driving down the highway and perhaps there's construction up ahead and the road narrows and they absolutely have to get to that single lane, one car length ahead of you. It's like the world's going to stop if they don't get there first. Or perhaps they have to rush in ahead of you at Starbucks to get their latte ahead of you or anybody else that might be in there, you know. God forbid that they hold the door and let other people in ahead of them. I also remember once I worked in a place, and once in a while we would have a special luncheon, and there was one young man that always had to be the first in line. I mean, jump ahead of line, ahead of the ladies in line to get to whatever it is we were eating first. And it wasn't as though he was famished and starving, hardly. One of the things that has been difficult for me, and this will all tie together, I promise. One of the things that's been really hard for me is to keep quiet lately with all of the noise that's going on in society and in the media. And it's caused me to rethink my me first thoughts. I've been really down on the people that are me first, but I think it needs to change. And I'm going to break my silence about how I feel about what's going on in society, and I'm going to do a little bit of a rant right now. So hold on, here we go. It's been really hard for me to keep quiet. There have been times when I'm surprised there haven't been holes in my tongue as I bit my tongue so hard. But here I go. I'm sick and tired of the media. I'm sick and tired of Twitter. I'm sick and tired of Facebook. I'm sick and tired of the way many of our politicians are acting. I'm sick and tired of the way people are treating each other in general. When did it become okay to call people's names in an effort to promote your own beliefs? When did it become okay to put people down just because they view things differently? When did it become okay to harass people in public because they are of a different political persuasion? The simple answer is, it isn't, and it never was okay. It's rude. It's childish, and it's inexcusable, and it needs to stop. Someone one time said that a true sign of intelligence is being able to have a conversation with someone you disagree with without getting upset. So now, I feel a little bit better, but let me get back to my rethinking of me first. I have to go first. It's me first. It needs to start with me. I can't expect others in society to act differently. I need to begin. I am committed to being more respectful to others. I'm committed to not sharing my opinions quickly about other people. I'm committed to giving people the benefit of the doubt rather than looking for sinister motives. I can't expect anybody else to take the lead on this. If this is what I'm feeling, if I'm the one that feels that this stuff that's going on in society is wrong, it needs to start with me. I decided that I would put a couple things together, and so this is the reason why I'm doing this podcast alone. I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody. Now, I realize that me doing a podcast with Marissa is really tough because Marissa's the one that makes this interesting. And she finds the way to bring some meaningful thought out of me from time to time. But I have to do this alone. I have to go it alone. So here we go with my listing of new commitments, so to speak. I commit to living my faith first and foremost in my life. If I truly live my faith, it's going to work its way into my actions. It's not just a belief. It's not just this code of ethics or I'm putting in air quotes because you can't see my fingers, these rules that I believe in. It has to be something that I live out because it is who I am. I commit to loving my wife and family. Now you might say, well, of course you do. No, I'm talking deeper than just a surface thing. I commit to a sacrificial love, not just a self-serving love where I get what I want. But I really want to live out the relationship with my wife and my children and my grandchildren where they recognize that I'm sacrificing something, that it's not just something I get out of the deal and that's the reason why I'm acting this way, but that I truly love them and I'm living in a way that they feel that and that they realize it's because of this deep emotion within me that I'm doing things for them. I will work hard at maintaining a positive focus in my life. Now, you've heard me talk about that. You've heard me talk about my daily affirmations. I need to go a step farther. If I'm going to be a positive person, if I'm going to be able to make a difference and not be as critical as many are, I need to turn down the noise as well as make the affirmation statements. So yes, I'm going to continue with my 12 affirmation statements every day, but I'm going to turn down some of the rhetoric, turn down some of the noise that's going on all around me, and really think about positive things and uplifting things rather than, you know, what is the count on an election in a state that's thousands of miles from me? I'm not saying we can ignore everything that's going on in the world, but do I need an update to buzz in my pocket on my phone every 20 minutes? The answer to that question is no. So part of maintaining my positive focus will be to turn down the noise, turn down the alerts. I want to work hard daily at seeking the best in every situation in my life. Things happen. Life happens. Life's tough. There's, you know, people get sick. People die. But getting back to my first point about living out my faith, if I am a person of faith, I have to believe that God has only the best in store for me, and that what comes into my life is something that He believes He wants me to, that something that I need to go through, and that He will give me the strength to go through it. So if that's really the case, if that's what I think, it's not a negative. It's a positive, and I need to start looking for those blessings in every moment. So let me give you an example of what could be a blessing. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden there's a car in front of you that's going very, very slow. So you get all upset because it's going to slow you down. Well, what if that car is really there to keep you from speeding? More than once that's happened in my life where I've been really upset about some person that's driving ahead of me driving way too slow. And all of a sudden we get around a turn and there was a speed trap. And I would just have to sit back in my car seat and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me from my own stupidity. Everything in life has a blessing in it. We just need to look for it. Oftentimes, I'll reflect back on the times when our first grandson, Silas, was in the NICU at Akron Children's Hospital. You know, it was rough. He was there 108 days. But there were things that took place in those 108 days that were such blessings. I was able to spend one night on two separate occasions with my daughter at a Ronald McDonald House. Only then was I able to realize the blessing that organization is to people that find themselves in very dire situations. My daughter was an hour from home, from her house in Ohio. She was 5 hours from our house here in Syracuse, but she was a five-minute walk from our grandson's isolette. Now, I could dwell on the fact that why in the world did he have to be born early? Why in the world did he have to be intubated for so many weeks and months? Or I could look at the fact that, wow, what a blessing to be able to see things, see technology, see the compassion of others, see how people are living out their lives to make a difference. Sadly, it was in retrospect that I chose to find those things as blessings. I'm going to commit to seeking them earlier in the situations. Thankfully, Silas is a typical 6-and-a-half-year-old and doing great. but I also now know what others go through, and I can empathize with them and perhaps help them find some blessings in those dark moments. I will daily look for ways to add value to other people. Now, I'm going to move beyond just saying it. I'm committing to you that I will, when I review my calendar for the next day, I'm going to identify the people in that day that I will be meeting with, and then try to come up with some unique ways that I can specifically help them accomplish something, achieve something, or perhaps there's an article that I've read that they could benefit from. That's what I mean by really seeking daily to figure out how to add value to others. We need to become intentional about it. I will daily look for ways to bless the people around me. Now, I'm not talking about something big here. I'm talking about just being nice, being kind, and smiling. Last week, I had to go to the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, and I'm going to be very honest with you, that is not my favorite place to go. I know that I would rather go to the dentist than the DMV. But I had to go to just turn in some plates for a vehicle that I had dropped off at a dealership. And the last time I had to drop off plates, I had to stand for an hour and a half just to drop off plates. This time I walked through the door and I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a forever project. Within 6 minutes, I was at the counter dropping off my plates and out the door. And I simply turned to the gentleman behind the counter and I said, you guys are really fast today. Thank you so much. And I smiled at him. That's being a blessing to people. Just thank them. Smile. Be kind. Hold doors. You know, pick up a box for someone in your office. Just be nice. That's all it takes to truly be a blessing in people's lives. I know someone, and I will not mention her by name because I don't want to embarrass her, but she lives her life looking for ways to do nice things for other people, but in ways that they will never, ever know it's her. She is very sensitive in hearing what people like and what might be their favorite cookie or candy or whatever it might be. Or perhaps if she knows that they like a certain kind of napkin that she's seen somewhere, and she will find them, and then when the time is right, place them in their office, wherever it might be, just to be a blessing. And for her, the greatest blessing is just seeing the joy on their face, knowing that she's brought something special into their life, but it also has to be that they never know it's her. I'd like to be more like that. I will take Stephen Covey's advice seriously when he said, seek first to understand, then to be understood. I'm going to be intentional about trying to see another person's point of view. It isn't necessarily going to change my point of view, but it probably will change my view of them or my assessment of them if I can realize why they might be acting the way they do. Last week, I had a conversation with my son, Tim. And I was venting about some things that I had seen on the news where there was a group of people outside a reporter's house just chanting all kinds of terrible things. You know, we know where you live, we know where you work, you know, we know where your children are, that type of thing. And I said to my son Tim, I said, how in the world can a person act like this? You know, what kind of a country do we live in where people act like this? And then he said something that really struck me. He said, Dad, if these people in their hearts believe that the person inside that they are protesting against is a fascist or a white supremacist, he said, this they think then is justified behavior. Now, he wasn't justifying their behavior, but it got me to think for a moment, what is causing a person to act? It doesn't mean I approve what they're doing, and I don't. But somehow, these folks have been educated in such a way to think that the enemy is inside that house. So the solution to that, the antidote to that type of hatred, is really dialogue and education. But if all we do is shout, we'll never get to that point. And I think perhaps that's what Stephen Covey was saying when he said, seek first to understand, If we understand the motives that people have, perhaps we'll be able to find a way to reason with them. But if we just keep battling one another, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's in the media that we see, if we keep going to polar opposites and just shouting, we're not going to get anywhere. So I've decided it has to start with me. I have to be the one that's going to go first, and I'm going to turn down the rhetoric. I'm going to turn down the noise. I'm going to just work at being kinder. I want to act out in my own life, live out what Gandhi said when he said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." Thank you for putting up with me for these few moments. I sure hope that next week we're going to be back to the type of podcast that you think of, or that you're looking for when you think about the next page. But I also want to challenge you. Isn't it time perhaps for you to go first and help us create the environment that we want around us? Thanks so much. I'm Dave Freund, and this was The Next Page.